Seeing the vision, having goals, maintaining your convictions, part two. This is my first series. You can consider yourself guinea pigs. Never done one before. Last week I talked about convictions, personal convictions, or 2 weeks ago, about your convictions that Christ places on you personally in your relationship with Him. Convictions that we all share as Christians. Convictions that conduct or control how you conduct your life. Tasks or purposes God has given you. And tonight I'm going to shift my focus and we're going to talk about goals. Having goals tonight. Seeing the vision, having goals, and maintaining your convictions. Lord Jesus, I just come to You by Your own blood and by Your name, God. And I ask You, Father, just let me speak Your oracles, God. Just let me speak Your word in truth and in love. And let it be seasoned with grace and let it be edifying and anointed, God. Don't let it be anything of myself in Jesus' name, God. Just let it be all of You and none of me. And let it be relevant to our time. Let it be relevant to our lives, God. Only You can impart it to the people's heart. Only You can make it real to them. I can't do it. No matter how eloquent or how loud I yell, God, it doesn't make it real unless You can do it, Holy Spirit. I ask You in Jesus' name to do it. Just let it work into our lives. It said that the good seed goes into the ground and it bears fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. I pray that Your word tonight would just be good seed in our hearts. We'd tend it. We'd till it. We'd hide it in our hearts and we'd guard it, God, and let it grow. And the birds of the air wouldn't steal Your precious seed, Father. Let me just speak as You've spoken it into my heart, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the biggest things I struggle with is I always want it to be relevant to you. I want you to be able to apply what I teach or what I speak. And I feel like this series is just so practical. It's so simple that you can just take it and apply it to your life. And I even struggled about it being too simple, too practical. But, you know, the Word of God, man, it is for that purpose. It is for being practical. It is for being able to apply it to your life. And it's so complex that scholars and people with a whole bunch of letters after their name can't even understand the simplest truths of God. But a simple child that comes to Him like a child in Jesus' name can rightly divide the word of truth and understand this book. It's nothing haughtier above our head. And so tonight I'm going to talk about Christian goals, your goals. Last week, convictions. This week, goals. In 2 weeks, we'll talk about having vision. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, read what Paul says. It says in verse 21, let's go to verse 22. Did I say 2 Corinthians? My bad, 1 Corinthians. I'll wait for you because you guys are all in the wrong spot. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll just read it. Listen, Paul says, "To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker of it with you. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do not obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." This speaks to me of somebody who has focus. Paul had a goal. It was the prize. That was his focus each day. The thing about goals is everybody has them. Even the people in the world have them. Even your businessman, you know, they have their worldly goals. Some are simple and some are broad and some are unattainable. Some are wrong-minded, some are right-minded, some are selfish, and some have purpose. The truth is, before you are awakened into Christ, before you are born again, your goals were evil. And I started thinking about that when I wrote it, and I was like, oh, geez, that can't be true. That can't be a true statement. I was thinking, what about all the good things I did before I was a Christian? Baloney. There's no good in you. Your goals were self-seeking, and they were to your profit and your advantage before Christ lived in you. And I wrote it. I said, all your pursuits and aims were only for you or somehow to benefit you. All your goals, even simple relationships, can be traced back to the root or somehow for your profit or your gain. And now that you're in Christ, your goals and your purpose and your focus should be for Him. It's not about you anymore. And our goals are to please Him and honor Him. I'll talk to you about three specific goals tonight that should be found in a Christian's life. On the flip side, life is not lived outside of daily goals. Now we're going to get real simple. What's the first thing you do in the morning? Get out of bed. That's my first goal. Some of us, it's a lot harder than others. But that's my first goal in the morning when my alarm goes off, is to get out of bed. It's my first goal. And as simple as something like that is, that goal needs to be honored to the Lord. When my feet get out of the bed and I stand up, I'm grateful for life, and I have a goal and I have a purpose for that day. Can you join me in believing that every day that I live now has purpose? Because I'm a Christian. Every day I live has purpose. There's a meaning behind it. And I started thinking also, I was like, it can't be possible that every day I'm supposed to just get up, go to work, come home, eat dinner, say hi to my family, go to bed and get up and do it again. Is that God's goal for my life each day? It's more complex than that. I may do that in my day, but God's purpose and God's goal is something spectacular in my life. So it is with Christ. Once we enter into true life, our goals are now or should be eternal. It should be His. Eternal perspective, eternal reward. There are three goals if you're taking notes for Christians today. Today I'm talking to those who want Christ, who are in Christ. Your first goal and desire must be to be like Jesus. That's your first and primary goal. It's to love thy Lord God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. To be like Jesus. That's your first and primary goal as a believer. Second, and this one, your goal must be to change by the fruit of the Spirit growing in you and coming out of you. Your desire must be the attributes of God, the fruit of the Spirit living in you, controlling your life. That should be your second goal. Your third goal, and this is for all of us, must be the proclamation of the gospel to the lost. That is your third goal as a believer. And these are mandates from the Word. Last week I talked a lot about personal opinion, a lot of my own take on personal conviction. And this week it's a lot more. It says it right here. It's not really debatable, arguable issue. Your first goal is to desire to be like Jesus. Your second goal is that the attributes of God, the fruit of the Spirit, the things that are like Jesus, be in your life. Passionate about those taking over your life. And third is that we are called to talk about Jesus and the gospel to the lost. That's the hardest one for me. We'll talk about that later. Now, when I say goals, you'll find it quite easy to interchange it for the word focus. And so when I say focus, I'm referring to goals also. Because when I talk, those words are going to be interchangeable. When you have a personal goal, when you have a goal that Christ gave you, you know, some of us desire to go to the mission field. Some of us have desires to be evangelists. Some of us want to be the best stay-at-home mom there ever was. You know, not me because I'm not a girl. But that goal is from the Lord, and it can be interchanged with the word focus. You're focused about that one thing God has given you. Okay? So Paul says, you don't run the race for second place. You run the race like you're one that wants to obtain the prize. Paul says it plainly that he buffets his body. He says we strive after things that aren't perishable goals. They're not things that pass away. Something that's eternal. But God has set them before you. But it goes even farther, saying your focus has to be like you want to be the best. You want to be the best at that one thing, at that one goal. And who is our best example? Jesus Christ. This is a thought for you. Your goals and focus must be Christ-centered and breathed by Him. They must be centered about Him and breathed by Him. Only goals that God Himself has given to you, will be infused with His grace and strength to carry out. When He picks these goals, He sustains you. You know, I started thinking about all the goals and things in my life that I wanted to attain and how they just fell apart. You know, I can't maintain it. I can't keep up the momentum. I don't have enough strength. But what does it say in the Word? It says that He who started a good work in you is faithful to complete it unto the end, right? That's God's goal, is to complete the work He started in you. And He will be faithful to give you the grace and the strength to one day you'll reach that goal, right? And I was blessed when I started thinking that, you know, when God picked every one of us, His goal is inevitably heaven for each one of us and fellowship with Him as we become more like Jesus in this life. And He's going to complete that in each and every one of us because that's a goal and a focus He's given each one of us, becoming more like Him. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Jesus is the best example for somebody that had focus, somebody that had goals. And I'm not by any means demeaning Him or bringing Him down to our level. You'll see. Because even though He was God, He was wrapped in this fleshly body, but He was a person with purpose. Each day He had vision. He had a goal for that day that was dictated by the Father. And we'll see that by His life, you know. Even in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, He endured the cross, despising the shame for the joy that was set before Him, right? For the purpose and the vision that was set before Him. And I want to take you through the Word and show you a few places where Jesus, He has a specific goal, even for that hour, for that specific time. He follows through as one with purpose, one that has focus. In Luke chapter 2, verse 41, it says, His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When He was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they'd finished there, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing Him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought Him among their relatives and acquaintances. So they did not find Him, and they returned to Jerusalem seeking Him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found Him in the temple. 3 days' time has elapsed. He's 12. He's sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard Him were astonished at His understanding and His answers. So when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said to Him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And He says to them, Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And they did not understand the statement which He spoke to them. And look at what He says. Why did you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? Do you not know that my focus is what my Father speaks to me? That my goal is whatever He puts on my heart? And this is the first scripture we hear where Jesus has specific purpose for a specific hour. Because you think He did this on His own accord? This is an amazing fact that it hit me as I was typing this up. Anything that Jesus did, do you think He just decided to do it without conferring with the Father? And it almost boggles your mind. You think, well, He's God, you know. He's totally God, so He can just make decisions on His own and do it. But that wasn't the purpose of how He came. He didn't come just to be God and act on His own. He came to the earth to be obedient to the Father and carry out the Father's will, right? To show us, to be a light, to be an example. So everything Jesus did through this whole book, everything in black, white, and red, He did because the Father spoke to Him. Because it was God's will. It was God's focus and God's goal for that hour. So even at 12 years old, here He sits in the temple. And He could have simply said to His parents, this is God's will for me to be here right now. This is the goal He gave me right now in this hour. It's amazing to think that everything He did. Let me break it down for you. Every person that Jesus touched, every single one, thousands, maybe tens of thousands, we don't know. But every single person He touched, God told Him to do it. It was God's will for that person to be touched, or that person to be healed, or that person to be set free. He didn't just act on His own accord. The Trinity. Maybe it's just amazing to me. But every time He moved, it was God's purpose. It was God's goal. God speaking to Him. And our goal is to be like this man. He exposes His purpose daily. He even talks to His disciples and He exposes His purpose. Go to Luke 4:18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus lived in a glass house. There's nothing hidden. He didn't keep any secrets. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That sounds like a goal. That sounds like a focus. That sounds like a purpose to me. And they were pretty upset about this. Because He made an audacious claim in their eyes. And He says to them, "Today this Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Christ's goal to minister. That's His purpose. That's what God spoke to Him. We all know that Jesus' goal is eternal. It was the fulfillment of the Father's will on the cross. His goal inevitably was the cross, right? Redemption. He was focused on that end. He knew He was going to die. He knew that was God's goal, God's purpose for His life. And it was, and you and I were bound up in the completion of Calvary. Jesus did have goals, absolutely. He had daily goals. Turn to Luke chapter 6. This is practical. This is applicable to your life. That goals are important for you. You know, to have convictions, goals. I mean, these 3 weeks that I'm going to speak, I mean, it's about Christian discipline. It's about you being different. You looking different, acting different. You know, you watch the TV and it's the goal of somebody to win the lottery. It's the goal of somebody to be the best businessman in the world. For someone to climb the corporate ladder. To have the biggest church in the world. Biggest mega church, they have all the money. And you know, your focus and your goals are totally different. Because you're not taking any of it with you. And it's going to be how you lived your life. It's going to be how Christ lived through you. It's going to be your focus. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, and it says, "Now it came to pass on those days He went out to the mountain to pray." Jesus went up and He prayed. And it says He continued all night in prayer to God. "And when it was day, He called His disciples to Himself. And from them He chose 12, from whom He also named apostles." So, even then, I mean, this is an enigma. And I'm just going to throw it out there for you to chew on it, okay? Did Jesus have to pray to choose those 12? Did He have to go up and get the mind of the Lord? I don't know. I'm not telling you I believe either way. But, I mean, He was wholly God. Can't He just make decisions and know exactly what He's supposed to do? I think yes. But therein, it's so amazing. He prayed all night. He prayed all night, communing with the Father. Getting the Father's mind. Being a perfect example to you and me about being obedient and having the focus of the Lord. He comes down off the mountain, praying all night, and He chooses the 12 that God told Him to choose. I can't really wrap my mind around it, but this is the thought I had about it. If God Himself, in the form and body of a man, was in constant prayer for direction and focus to the Father, who do I think I am to be so arrogant just to go through each day? Just like routine. Because I'll tell you right now, you have a destiny and you have a purpose. I love telling people that because it's so true. You know, you see people on the street, you know, when I'm working, and you can just tell people, you know, who's, you know, drug addict, something dirty in the street, and you can tell them God has a destiny for you and He has a plan for your life, and you're not lying to that person. You're telling the truth. God has a perfect goal for you in mind, a perfect plan for you. And I thought about the arrogance of each day I rise up and just go through my day, just routine. And I don't even cross my mind that God has a specific goal. He has somebody He wants me to talk to today. He wants me to say something today. He has a prayer that He wants me to pray today. He wants to use me today. He has a goal for me, a vision each day. But I'll just, blow it off. And Christ Himself, God in the flesh, didn't go through a day without getting direction, right? Each person set free was the Father's will. Eternal focus. What do we think we are? That the only thing God wants from me one day is for me to come home and go through my routine. Daily He speaks. Daily we should listen. We can look at Christ as the perfect example. There's no flaws. He's not like a mentor or a friend or a pastor or somebody in the church that has faults if you want to look for them. You can find wrong in them. He's without sin. Follow Him. What an example He was of somebody with focus. If your one goal is Jesus Christ, that's my first point. If that's your one goal, you will obtain every other goal. So everything just kind of falls away after that. Number two. Let's go to number two. That our purpose, one of our goals and focus, should be that the fruit of the Spirit live in you. That you should exemplify those traits. And this point came about when, I'm just going to be real with you. A while ago, I was at work, or I was sitting in front of a computer, I think. I was typing a sermon a few months ago. I just felt like the Lord really spoke to me. He's like, how long has it been since you really craved to be righteous? Since you just sat there and that's what you desired? You just really wanted to be holy. You just wanted that, you know? And I was like, Lord, it's been a long time. And I was ashamed, and I thought that was just tragic, you know? That's just a tragedy, that how much time has gone by. And you don't wake up out of your bed and you're like, God, make me righteous today. I remember back at Bible school, you pray the Navy SEAL prayers, you know? Now you pray the businessman, prayers. But you're praying the Navy SEAL prayers. God, break me. Destroy everything in my life, you know? Send the fire of God and burn up everything, you know? And you're asking God for brokenness. You're asking God to send hardship, you know? You're asking God to send a tornado and destroy everything that's not like you in my life, you know? You're praying the Navy SEAL prayers, and then your life changes. And you join that American cop-out that life happens. And you start praying the businessman prayers. God bless my wife today. Help her today. Just give me a good day at work. Amen. When does that happen? It doesn't have to happen. And then God sends a trial in your life. And then you start gravitating back to the dynamic prayer. Oh God, I need deliverance. You know? And He has a way of sending those things in your life. And my point number two is that those things, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, they should be in the forefront of your mind. You should desire those things. Earnestly desire the best gifts. And I started thinking about that. I was like, oh God, do you mean just the fruit, just the gifts of the Spirit? Or are you talking about the fruit of the Spirit? Ask for the best gifts. I was like, and I just felt like the Lord was like, you can speak in tongues all day. You can prophesy all day. But if you don't love people, if you can't truly love them from a pure heart, you're just a loud sounding gong and you don't mean anything. People are going to forget about you, but they're not going to forget about the kind word that you spoke to them. You know? If I can raise the dead, but I don't like somebody in here, and I don't deal with it, what good is that? Is God really able to work through me? So we earnestly desire that God should live in us and be in us. It's tragic if you don't desire those things as a Christian. And I started thinking, don't get condemned if you don't desire that. Because I am talking a little bit about a feeling and an emotion, and it's not about that. If you don't feel that way, if you don't feel like you desire it, and you rise up and ask God for it, even though you have no feelings, your reward's greater. Because you're going through the trial. You're going through the fire. God, I don't want to be holy. I don't feel like I want to be holy. But oh God, make me holy. Make that a goal and a desire in my life that those things should be in me even though I don't feel anything. That's the true battle. That's where you're going to be made strong. Because I've been both places. You'll be made strong in that fire. In the fire of, I don't feel like I want any of those things. Oh God, let that burn in me. I want what You want. You know, that's where you'll be made strong. So that cop-out, that life happens. That spiritual assassin that sneaks up behind you to cut your spiritual throat when you're in the prayer closet, that you wouldn't earnestly desire those things. You don't have to live that way. Your goal should be to be more like Him. And that falls under the heading of pursuing Jesus. You need to have daily goals focused on being more like Jesus and representing Him. I'll go so far as to say, pray to God that those desires for the fruit of the Spirit would burn in your heart. Ask Him for that. Because as a Christian, you're supposed to be that. You're supposed to be that. You're the only Bible some people will ever read. Do I fall short? I fall on my face every day. I fall short. I say things or something will fly out of my mouth and I can't stuff it back in fast enough. Oh God, there goes my testimony. You know, there goes my witness. I look just like the rest of the world. You can never use me. It's not true. You know, we trust Him, we come to Him, He cleanses you and you keep going. But that you need to earnestly desire those things. Am I beating a dead horse enough? Okay. These goals, they keep us focused. That's one of the reasons I talk about the goals is because they keep you focused. One of the classes I had in Bible school was Christian discipline, and it was about routine. We actually had a class where we mapped out every single minute of our day. From the second you woke up to the second you laid your head down, you mapped out every minute of what you did. And it showed you how much time you wasted, how much available time you had in your day. And having said that, it is so important for you and I to have goals. When I rise up, my goal is to be like Jesus today. When I go to work, I need to maintain a prayer life. I need to maintain a constant ascension that, God, You live in me. God, I need You. God, I need You to sustain me. I need You to show me which way to walk, who to talk to, what to say. Continue to live through me. You know, continue to give me Your focus and Your aim. And there's a lack of it. This was spurred. I was at work last week, and I was driving down the street, and I'm supposed to be in this area where there's crime. There's no crime in Mesa. So I drive by this house, and the front door's open. And I'm like, you know, that's kind of weird. You know, why is the front door open? It's the middle of the day. You know, so I walk up to the door. I'm kind of looking around, and this house is filthy. I mean, it's nasty. I can smell it from the street. And I start walking up, and there's just clothes, just dirty old clothes, all in the driveway. And the laundry room door is standing open, and I can see piles of rags and just the aroma coming from this house. And the house is falling apart. I mean, the roof is falling apart. The house, I mean, there's siding coming off the house. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know. And I go to the front door, just nasty, and I knock on this old door. This guy opens the door, and he's got to be, you know, 70 years old. He's got like 3 teeth, you know, and I can smell him. And he'd been smoking. He's all disheveled. He's wearing a shirt that hasn't been washed in 2 weeks. He's standing there in his underwear and t-shirt talking to me. He opens the door this much, and he's talking to me. And what went through my mind is I'm like, what is this guy's goal every morning when he wakes up? He is totally indifferent. He has no focus. Each day is just another carousel where he goes through the motions and goes back to sleep. And I know without even asking him, he's not a believer. There's no purpose in his life. He's got no focus. He's got no hope. And you can see it all over him, just the way he spoke to me. Just disdain for life. Indifferent. And I was like, oh God, this is what happens when there's no focus. When there's no vision. When there's no hope. And you know, some of us pride ourselves in being disciplined or being having that personality where you're driven. And I'll tell you, a portion of that comes from the Lord. Because out in the world, if you don't fall apart where we can see you, you're going to fall apart where we can't see without the Lord. If you're not miserable on the outside, you're miserable on the inside. There's no aim. There's no focus. There's no goal in mind. No goal. Live and die. That is not why I'm here. Just to exist. If you want to go far with God, earnestly desire the best gifts. When you are a house for God's glorious character, and you long for it to be so, that marks someone that belongs to Him. You may not feel like you desire those things, then your reward will be greater because the fight is harder for you. God is making you stronger, teaching you to force feed yourself the Word and prayer. Personal discipline working into your life for God's glory will bring about strength. We have different goals. That's awesome. You know, I mean, my wife knows some of my goals in life. You know, and they're not. And I don't say that as the world says it. It's not to be, you know, the biggest or the strongest, to have the most money. Those aren't my goals. My goal is, you know, that I can be what God spoke to me to be in my heart. The calling God's put on my life, that I'd fulfill it the best of my ability. That's a goal in my life. If you're a mom and God says, stay home with your kids, you rise up and, you know what, I want to be the best there is. Godly. Anointed. You know? God has a purpose, and that should be your goal and your focus. To be a pillar in your church. If you just attend church and God's like, I just want you to be here. Just be here. And live a dynamic life for me. Be a strong pillar in this building that people can look to. And that's what you need to do. And third, reaching the lost. Reaching the lost. Let's picture you're in a sporting event. We're all on a team. We all have different parts. We have different positions. Some of us are up front. Some of us are in the back. Some are big. Some are small. Together we make one unit. Together we make one team. That's the church, right? We all want to win. We all wear the same color. We all sweat. We all cry. We're all shedding blood together for one purpose and one goal. All for one, one for all. We have the same purpose. It's to get to the goal. To score. To win. Such it is with the church and the lost. Do you hear me? We all have one goal, one purpose. Jesus came and He spoke to them. He said, therefore, go and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you to the end of the world. This one's the hardest for me. I get so wrapped up in myself, my flesh, and my own focus. And at prayer meeting, we prayed for the lost. And God put a burden on my heart for the lost. You know, people that are just, they're going to go to hell. It's a very real hell. Not a fantasy, not something we've made up. No scare tactics. They're going to make a decision for a real hell. Real torment for all of eternity. That's serious. It says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. And God didn't send His Son to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. And he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Your third goal and focus is for those that are dying and lost. You know, each day, how many people do we come in contact with that are just so lost? Not only lost, but deceived. And just, here's a thought. When you wake up each day as a Christian, when you walk through your life, God never designed it that you would just run helter-skelter back and forth through the path of your life. That you just run back and forth, bouncing off the road, you know, trying somehow to get to this goal inevitably at the end. You know, we just run. Some run slower. Some are tripping over others. And you're bouncing off the hedges, running down this road of life, trying to get to some goal. That is not how it's designed. God never designed it that way. He says you run as one to obtain a prize. And when you run, if you have the blinders on and you have your goal, you're going to run a straight line. And when you fall, you're going to fall straight in line with that goal, right? When you get off, when you start looking at other things, that's when you start bouncing off the sides and you start falling off the path. That's why it's so important for Christians to be focused. You have focus. You have purpose. You have drive. There's something alive. There's a reason for you. And you in this church, it's not just about a reason for you to be a Christian. For I know you people, and God has a specific purpose for you in the kingdom. It's not just to be His disciple and walk with Him. God has something He needs you to do. Each one of you. Because I know you. You're not just the run-of-the-mill, everyday Christian that says, yeah, I go to church on Sunday and I believe basically what the Bible says, but I can't really quote a verse for you. God has something for you to do, something to accomplish. And if you keep that goal in mind, this is like point number four, even though I have point number four. He has a goal for you, along with pursuit of Christ and wanting to be like Jesus and wanting the fruit of the Spirit to be in you, rising up saying, God, make me righteous. God, make me holy. God, do that in my life. Make me like that. And then third, that you would reach the lost and preach to the lost and reach out to them. You know? Whether I like it or not, I am my Father's son, naturally speaking. You know, people work. I'm a blabbermouth. I talk all the time. I told my wife a funny story. I was on the phone the other day with somebody. I looked at my phone. They had hung up for 4 minutes. You know, I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm still talking to them, you know. And I had to take a step back and realize, you probably talk too much, you know. You know, that benefits you in some ways. Because it's easy for me to talk to people. I'm not intimidated talking to people. I can just strike up a conversation with somebody, and that, I'm like my dad, you know. He makes friends with rocks, you know. He can talk to anybody, you know, and anything, and have a good time, you know. And then why is it so hard for me to talk to people about the Lord? Why is it so hard for me to say, you know, Jesus loves you, and I'm a Christian, and, you know, there's purpose for your life, you know. Just simple, in passing. It's the fear of man. It's, what are they going to think of me? But we need to keep it in perspective and the vision and goal that Christ has for us. I'm done, but I want to read you just a couple scriptures, okay? So if you'll just, if you'll humor me, I'm just going to read you something real quick before we close. It says, now there was one who sat at the table. And a certain man, he gave a great supper. He invited many. He sent his servant at supper and he said, come in, for all things are now ready. But they with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I've bought a piece of ground. I must go see to it. I'll have to ask you to excuse me. And another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. The master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly. Go to the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and there is still room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highway and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled. For I say to you that none of the men who were invited shall taste my supper. It says that we have to go compel them to come in. It doesn't say you just give them a sentence. Some people have to be compelled. They have to be cajoled and persuaded. Some people just need a word. They're ripe for the harvest. But that needs to be our goal. He commissioned you with that goal. You share that with me. Not just me, you share it with me. Very practical, people. Very simple. But I think it's very important that we have focus, that you have a goal, that you have a purpose in mind. If you think you're excluded, you're wrong. You're wrong. There is a vision that God has for you. And there's a prize for you to attain. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your word, Father. And God, I thank you that it's... Oh God, we can spend all eternity in your word and just brush the surface. But yet it's so simple that we can understand it and you use it to work in our lives. God, we need you to cultivate this discipline in our lives. I need you to work in my life. God, give us goals and give us focus. Give us an aim. Speak it to us. You have a purpose for us in Christ. In Jesus, we have a purpose. God, just let it go deep and begin to use us, Father. Use us for your glory, God. And when you're not able to extract any more glory and use us any more, then take us home, Lord. God, I pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.